Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Hook, Line, and Splitter is presented by NJR Home Services. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Welcome, everybody, to Hook, Line, and Splitter, episode 36. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast, is brought to you by NJR Home Services. For over two decades, NJR Home Services has made sure home is where you're most comfortable, from heating and cooling to water heaters, generators, and solar. Trust your home to NJR Home Services. Blue Claws on the road in Aberdeen. They'll be back home on Tuesday, May the 3rd, to welcome in the Hudson Valley Renegades, the Yankees affiliate. So, yes, the Yankees are coming. Next week, they'll make three visits here this year. This is the first one, and it'll be a six-game series Tuesday through Sunday. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 8th. Wednesday is an Education Day game, 11:05. We'll have the promo rundown and go through that on the back half. Our guest today will be Blue Claws outfielder Ethan Wilson, second-round pick of the Phillies last year out of Andalusia, Alabama, and the University of South Alabama. And we'll talk to Ethan about that. His 10.5 months so far in the Philly system, early starts this year, and much more. Before we get to Ethan, just a couple of quick notes on the Blue Claws. Some of the big names performing well early on the year. Mick Abel struck out 9 hitters in 5 scoreless innings in his third start of the season. That was on Saturday here at Shoretown Ballpark. He's set to pitch this coming Saturday in Aberdeen and has been the Saturday starter. So if you're looking to see him at a game this year, if everything holds, he'll pitch Saturday, May 7th next. His next home start would be Saturday, May 7th. We'll see if everything holds. But, of course, we'll have that posted on blueclaws.com for you there. Griff McGarry began the year in Florida, oblique injury, basically missed all of spring training. So he came to the Blue Claws to start the season and threw a 1-2-3 inning in his first game in Brooklyn, then threw two perfect innings here last week against Asheville, struck out all 6 batters he faced, gave up a couple of home runs in Aberdeen earlier this week, but 12 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 5 1/3 for Griff McGarry. The other part of the Blue Claws that has been really stupendous, they run, and they run a lot, and they run successfully. They're 48-for-51 stealing bases this season. This is before the game on Thursday, the 28th in Aberdeen. Ethan Wilson, who we'll hear from in a moment, is 10-for-10. Johan Rojas is 13-for-13 and enters Thursday's game second in the minors in stolen bases. But in addition to those two, DJ Stewart is 5-for-5. Casey Martin is 4-for-4. Jared Carr is 6-for-6. And Baron Radcliffe has 3 as well. So they have all those guys with at least 3 stolen bases. And as a team, they've only been caught 3 times, which is really, really tremendous in 51 attempts so far this season. You can watch the Blue Claws this week in Aberdeen and every home game this year and almost every road game except the games in Wilmington. You can watch the Blue Claws on MILB.TV. All home and most road games stream live. The only way to watch the Blue Claws on any device this season is MILB.TV. Subscribe today to watch over 6,500 games, including all available playoff games from over 100 minor league teams live or on demand. Download the MILB First Pitch app from the Google Play or Apple App Store to watch on the go. Use promo code BLUECLAWS at checkout to save $10 on a yearly subscription. Visit MILB.TV for details today. Let's go to our guest, and that, of course, is Blue Claws outfielder Ethan Wilson. Thanks to Ethan for joining us here today. He's our guest on episode 36 of Hook, Line, and Splitter by Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Blue Claws outfielder Ethan Wilson, Philly second round pick in the draft last year and first year with the Blue Claws. Ethan, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How do you like the Jersey Shore so far?
I like it. You know, all my teammates are great. The coaches are great. It's just kind of the weather I'm still trying to get used to. Real cold, real windy, so not ideal for hitters.
No, it'll warm up though. It'll warm up. Yeah. It'll warm up for sure. So,
oh yeah,
you haven't yet even been in the Philly system for a year yet. You know, 10.5 months or so. How has everything gone for you, and how's the transition been like from college ball into pro ball?
It's been a pretty tough transition so far. You know, just getting pitched different. The competition's a lot better. You know, you're facing a really good arm every single night, really good bullpen. So, I'm still trying to work on my approach and work on my routine and see what works for me. So this year is going to be kind of a grind the whole year to just see how I need to do things to be successful moving forward in my career. So it's definitely been a challenge this first month.
So let's go back to last June. You get selected round two. How are you following the draft? Where were you and how, what was draft day like for you?
Yeah. So I had I had a draft party the first night at my house. And then obviously I didn't get picked up. And then the second day I invited some more friends over and I was lucky enough to get picked up by the Phillies. And I had my mom, my dad, and then, you know, my wife and her family there. So it was a very surreal moment for me and my family.
Tonight is we're taping this on Thursday, the 28th, the first round of the NFL draft. Can you kind of, what was the whole experience like for you from, you know, were the Phillies one of the teams that you thought might take you? How much, you know, kind of misdirection is there involved? It's got to be a pretty unique experience for you guys and something that you're never going to, I don't know if it's good or bad, but you're never going to have to go through it again.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, I was nervous for sure. I didn't have any, you know, I didn't know the Phillies were interested in me. I had like four or five teams that had been kind of in contact with my agent for a while. And then, you know, it was just kind of one of those things where the Phillies said they wanted me and that was it. So it kind of caught me by surprise, but I'm very fortunate to be where I am right now. And, you know, I'm really glad that process is over because it's very stressful to go through, but you know, it's also a lot of fun to be able to, you know, get drafted and chase your dream.
Last summer you played for, now look, I've only known Keith Werman, the Blue Claws manager, for a little while now, a couple of weeks, but I know last summer you played for Marty Malloy in Clearwater, who I do know very well. He was here for a couple of years, and it feels like they're about as opposite as it gets, right? He's more laid back. Marty's, you know, tough in your face. You know, you better be on your game 24/7 kind of thing, which is great for both of them. Everybody's got their own different style, but for you, you've kind of played, I know, again, it's still really early in this year, but you played for two guys that are kind of in your 2 years in the system that are polar opposite manager types.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Marty, that's kind of the coach that I grew up playing for, like hard-nosed old school type coaches. So me and Marty had a really good relationship. You know, I loved playing for Marty. He always wanted to win and that's how I was brought up too. I love Worm too. Like you said, they all, you know, every coach has their different philosophies on coaching and stuff. And Worm's really laid back. He kind of lets us do our thing. And if we're not, you know, doing what we're supposed to, then he'll address it. But both guys are incredible at what they do. So
I know, you know, Johan is going to play, Rojas is going to play center field most nights, but you played right, you played left. I'm sure you'll play a little bit of center. Do you have experience at all three outfield spots? Is that important for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously I think I'm more comfortable in left than right, but so far this year I've been playing more right than left. So I've kind of gotten comfortable in all three spots. So we'll see what happens.
So you've been running a lot. I know everybody's been running on the team. I think you have you had two last year, stolen bases. And what do you have this year? 10 or 11 already.
Yeah, I think I have 10.
Yeah. Not even a month into the season. Was this the point of emphasis for you coming into the year? Where'd all these bags come from?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're struggling at the plate, like I have been, you know, the last month or so, I think I'm just trying to, you know, get on base and make things happen on the bases for the other guys. You know, obviously we want to score runs and, you know, I feel like we have a very fast team all around and, you know, we can create some problems on the base pass. So Worm kind of gives us the freedom to run whenever we want to run, as long as we can time the pitcher up and all that good stuff. So, you know, I feel like if I'm not hitting homers or hitting doubles or, you know, getting on second with my bat, then I might as well try to, you know, get on second and third with my leg. So, yeah, that's been a huge, huge thing for me so far.
You're 10 for 10. The team is 48 for 51, which is incredible. 95 or so percent there.
Yeah.
You're playing with the bigger bases. They look, I mean, if, I don't know if a fan can see it from the stands or on the video stream or whatever, but if you look up close, I mean, the it's definitely a notable difference. It looks like a pizza box, 18 inches. Is it notable for you guys? Like, does that really help you try to steal a base? Is the bigger base enough to get you to think about going in a situation where maybe you wouldn't go last year?
No, I don't think so. I haven't even thought about the bigger bases. So for me personally, I don't think that's a reason why I've been going more often. I think it's just, that's kind of the thing that I worked on the most in spring training with, you know, Cat Hart and MJ. So I think just, you know, that was my point of emphasis coming into this year. And I wanted to prove that I could run. So.
Well, so far, so good. You got the as a team, you got stolen at least one base in every game, and you lead the minors with 48 going into action tonight on Thursday, the 28th. How did you end up? Actually, before we could do that, the pitch clock. So first year for that at the lower levels of the minors, they did it in Double A and Triple A before. How do you like it as a hitter? And did it, you know, everybody talks about the adjustment for the pitcher, but is there an adjustment for the hitter with the pitch clock?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think baseball should be played at its own pace. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the pitch clock. Just kind of speeds us up as hitters. You know, I think when it's our time to hit, we should have the freedom to, you know, get in the box whenever we want to. But I mean, as far as speeding up the game, like obviously it's working for that, but I just think it's a little aggressive on the hitter's end, you know, cause most pitchers like to work fast. So I think it's giving them kind of the upper hand, so to say.
No, it's definitely a fair point. I don't think it's going anywhere though. So
we'll, that's something that we have to get used to.
Yeah. Tell us about Andalusia, Alabama, population 8,800.
I mean, that's my hometown. Not a lot going on there, but, you know, I love it. I love the people there. Obviously, there's some pressure on my end because, you know, not many people are trying to do what I do from there. You know, it's just a small town, and everybody knows you. So I feel like I have a lot of support from Andalusia, and, you know, my family, my wife's family, they still live there, and proud to call it home for me.
How close was college to Andalusia?
It was 2 hours.
Okay, so good. So right?
Not bad.
Yeah. Did you play any other sports growing up?
Yeah, I did. I played football and basketball.
I guess does everybody play football down there in Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, football is my favorite sport for sure.
Did you think about playing in college?
Yeah, I did. I had a couple two-way offers from D2 schools. But I knew that baseball was, you know, the route for me. And honestly, playing quarterback and trying to play baseball would have been – you know, practically impossible. So I knew I had to choose one, and I went with baseball. So
Alabama or Auburn?
I'm an Auburn guy.
So what percentage of people down in your part of the state, in the southern part of the state, Is that more Alabama? I guess the whole state's Alabama territory, right? Except Auburn, except right in that Auburn area.
Yeah, it just depends on where you are. But mostly Alabama. Yeah.
Have you ever been to an Iron Bowl?
I have.
Oh, wow.
I have been to an Iron Bowl. I've been to several of them. Really fun. Really fun.
Up here, I know we as like the Northeast can't appreciate what that's like in the South. SEC Saturdays, and it's not just football too, baseball, even in the baseball too. But give us an idea of the day-to-day aspect of that rivalry that permeates throughout the state 365 days a year.
I mean, as an Auburn fan, that's pretty much our national championship, you know? I mean, Alabama's getting there every year, so obviously they probably don't put much attention into Auburn, but I mean, I can't stand Alabama fans. So it's pretty much just bragging rights for the fan base. I can remember growing up going to school, all my friends were Alabama fans. And when Auburn had beaten them like 7 years in a row, I loved that time period. Cause I could go to school and wear my Auburn jersey and nobody could say anything to me. So it's just for bragging rights, honestly. But, yeah, I mean, just football, college football is the best time of the year for sure.
Do you remember that you were probably about 10 when Cam came back and beat them? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
And then the kick six, that was the other crazy one, right?
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah.
The Phillies have – back to baseball. The Phillies have a few good big arms on this team. Mick, Abel, Griff, McGarry. Mick's supposed to pitch Saturday. Griff pitched the other day. Have you faced them? What's it like to face those two guys as hitters? Obviously kind of similar, Griff's a couple years older, but, big, tall, strong right-handers that can get it into the upper 90s. What's it like to face those guys if you have had that opportunity?
Yeah, I faced Griff a couple of times last year. In instructs, and he's unbelievable, man. Like, his fastball is one of the best I've ever seen. Probably is the best I've ever seen. His windup is smooth. He's very smooth and just an incredible person, off the field. Honestly, I think a lot of people lose sight of, not only how good they are at baseball, but just how great of people they are, and both Griff and Mick are just incredible guys, incredible teammates. But I mean, Griff will be a big leaguer for sure. He's probably got the best stuff I've ever seen. And then I've only faced Mick one time, but obviously, he's really good too. His fastball is electric. Really good slider, and just the way he commands the game, and he never lets the game get too big for him. He's a young guy, but he's very mature on and off the field. So yeah, I can't wait to follow these dudes' career, and hopefully we'll be playing in the big leagues together one day.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you what time's the bus today?
2 o'clock. But I got a lift at 11:30, and then probably just hang out with the wife for a little while. So
there you go. So I don't want to keep you from that. Ethan Wilson, thank you so much for a few minutes. Have a great day. Go get a couple hits here tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
Build out a summer of fun with your own 2022 Jersey Shore Blue Claws mini plan. 5 of the best games of the year. Plus, you'll get dinner and dessert at each game, boardwalk game tickets at each game, an exclusive season ticket holder gift, complimentary tickets to opening night at the Jersey Shore April 8th, presented by Jenkinson's Boardwalk 2. Log on to blueclaws.com/memberships today or call 732-901-7000 option 3 and tell them Hook, Line, and Splitter sent you. 732-901-7000 option 3 or blueclaws.com/memberships. Thanks to Ethan for joining us, spending a few minutes with us here on Hook, Line, and Splitter. to Dayton. He gets ready for a ball game tonight down in Aberdeen Blue Claws and the Aberdeen Ironbirds. Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company of the Jersey Shore, providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, tick and mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Imagine this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today at 732-370-5963, 732-370-5963. So the Blue Claws are in Aberdeen, three more games there. They'll be back home on Tuesday. So Tuesday, quiet night. It's a 6:05 game, though, not a 6:35 game. And you say, why is it a 6:05 game instead of 6:35? And I'll tell you. And that is because Major League Baseball put in a new rule this year that says any game that takes place the day before a morning game, and Wednesday will be a morning game, 11:05 a.m., that Tuesday game can start no later than 6:05 p.m. local time. So the Blue Claws will play a day game on Wednesday, so 6:05 local time. That's another one of those rules as part of the new look minor league baseball to help out the players, and a good rule for sure. Those turnarounds can be really quick. The Blue Claws actually played 1 year in 06. This is before me. They played 17 innings in a game on a Tuesday night and then had a morning game the next day against Hagerstown. And they played till about 1 in the morning or so, stopped play, and then they ended up finishing it the next time Hagerstown came into town. It took 22 innings. It's the longest game in South Atlantic League history with that 22-inning ball game there a number of years ago, the Blue Claws and the Hagerstown Suns. But they played 17 and then finished the last five the next time Hagerstown came into town. The Blue Claws won the game. Mike Zagurski was the winning pitcher. Carlos Carrasco started, gave up 6 runs, 3 earned in 4 and 2/3 innings. Clay Harris went 4-for-9 for the Blue Claws in that game. Cooper Osteen led off. He was 2-for-10. And the Blue Claws ended up winning the game. The official time of the game was 7 hours and 47 minutes. Nowadays, you couldn't do that. You might stop play one day, but then you'd have to finish the first game before you even started the next game the next morning. But Blue Claws will play Tuesday night, 6:05, 11:05 on Wednesday morning at First Education Day of the season. Thursday is Thursday, $2 Coors and Coors Light cans in the sandbar. Friday night, more fun, kids run the bases, standard night there, 6:35 start. Saturday is the big one. It's Bark in the Park. First pitch is at 4:05. The pregame festival with 95.9 The Rat and 100.1 WJRZ will begin at 12:30 out of the Great Lawn. Come out. There'll be some food there, vendors, dogs, adoptions, the whole thing. Gates open. Come on inside. Bark in the Park. It'll be a great day for sure. And then Mother's Day is Sunday, the 8th. That's a 1:05 game, and you want to make sure to come to that and give Mom the Mother's Day that she deserves. Blue Claws have a special Mother's Day ticket package available. 4 reserved seats, 4 hot dogs, 4 novelty ice creams, 4 small sodas, 4 boardwalk game plays. And remember, at the boardwalk, as we've told you before, but it's very important, you go to the boardwalk, you can play hoop shot, you can play cat rack, you can play goblet toss, you can play balloon darts. But we highly recommend save your money on ring toss. That's our, if you take one thing from this, besides for everything Ethan told you, which was great. Yeah. Balloon darts, not ring toss. That's our tip of the day on Hook, Line, and Splitter. So that'll be Mother's Day, Sunday, May the 8th, 1:05 game. And if you haven't yet, order your flowers. Order your card for Mom. Lightstar Energy Group is a leading energy brokerage firm headquartered in New Jersey. Our goal is to provide clients with premium energy management services to lower electricity and natural gas costs and to provide a long-term energy management strategy. We pride ourselves on bringing each and every individual business the same benefits of deregulation enjoyed by universities, municipalities, and all high-volume energy users. Tailored products and contracts, lower costs, personal attention, and outstanding service. Call us at 732-722-5880 to learn more about Lightstar Energy Group today. So You're going to join us next week. We hope Hudson Valley will be in town. It'll be your last chance for almost for 3 weeks. If you don't come this week, the Blue Claws won't be back home until May 24th, when they have a 12-game in 13-day homestand that begins on May the 24th. That week will include a Marvel night with Spider-Man and many other promotions. So we'll see you soon. Hook, Line, and Splitter is a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. The Blue Claws will be back home on Tuesday night to take on the Hudson Valley Renegades. Tickets available now by calling 732-901-7000 or logging on to blueclaws.com. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Thanks to our special guest, Ethan Wilson. We'll see you next week here at Shoretown Ballpark. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Have a wonderful day. One other thing. I shouldn't have done all the whole ending. One other thing. Next week, we'll have another player on. Somebody keeps calling me that I cannot talk to. Next week, we'll have another player on. We'll do that. Also, next Saturday is Bark in the Park Day, but it's also Kentucky Derby Day. So we're going to try to have a special Derby segment for you. If we're working on a couple of different things right now. So hopefully we can pull that one off. But that'll do it for us here today. We'll be back next week. Hook, Line, and Splitter at Jersey Shore Blue Claws Podcast. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. And we'll see you on Tuesday here at Shoretown Ballpark. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Go Blue Claws. We'll see you soon.